worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. In Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. Here stand the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. All of Psalms 121 and Psalm 122. Thank you, Father, once again for the blessed nation of Israel. Thank you for your hand of grace upon Israel, and thank you for your mercy at work in and through it as a nation. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your peace, and your power. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to lift Israel, the nation of Israel, up. Thank you for the whole nation, and thank you for all the Jewish people all over the world, and thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Father, you are the God of Israel, and they are your people. You named them, though they did not know you. Lord, more and more, cleanse them from their iniquities and pardon all of their sins. Save them with an everlasting salvation. Raise them up in righteousness and direct all their ways. Redeem Israel out of all their troubles. Be a shelter for your people and the strength of the children of Israel. Bring health and healing to them and to their land, revealing to them your abundance of peace and truth. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Israel be to a name of praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, proclaiming all the good you do for them and causing fear and trembling among the nations because of all the goodness and prosperity you provide for it. Restore everything that has been removed from them. Send them grain and new wine and oil to satisfy them. Make their enemies to be at peace with them. And no longer let them be a reproach among the nations. Seek out your sheep and deliver them from the peoples and countries where they were scattered, and bring them to their own land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of all Israel. May they prosper that love you. Lord, cause their enemies to cease from the land. Make them in the places all around Jerusalem a blessing, and cause showers of blessings to come down in their season. Let your people dwell safely in their land, delivered from trouble from all the kingdoms of the earth, in Jesus' name. And thank you again, Father, for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for the nation of Israel and all your people, the Jewish people all over the world. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God in you. Do we trust? Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to come in agreement. Father, you say that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so that's what we're doing. Father, I know that you love everybody. I know that you had a grand plan through them of a coming Savior and that Jesus showed up. Father, I know that Jesus called out the Pharisees saying that they weren't following the law properly, that they weren't following your love, your covenants, that they weren't following the way that you called Israel to walk in righteousness. And so, Father, I ask that we would pursue that more. Thank you so much for opening that doorway for us to follow you as well. And Father, I ask that we'd walk in your ways more and more. Father, I pray that Israel would be a blessing to the nations even more than they already have. And Father, I ask that we'd bless them too. Thank you so much, Father, for your peace, for your grace, for your mercy, and for your patience. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for all those that are part of our listening family today. And we do want to remind and encourage every listener, please do make it your goal on a daily basis to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the nation in the midst of all that's going on. Pray for Israel, pray for all the nations in the Middle East as well. Lord, more and more, flood all the nations with your mercy, grace, and light. Send forth many more laborers into all the nations, Israel and all the rest of the nations in the Middle East. And more, let your church rise up to be the church you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I want to take time, as we often do, to share an article that we want to encourage you to email us to get a copy of, a discipleship tool for you to use personally, a tool to use in sharing with your family, but also to forward and share with others by way of email, fellow church members, co-workers on the job, extended family members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. But we encourage you to use them and share them with others as well. The title of this article is Education Without Christ is Not Education. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Again, Proverbs 9, 10. Then Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. What is education? What is the goal of education? Why is education important to every human being? These are important questions that genuinely need wise, accurate answers. One definition of education is the process of obtaining knowledge and wisdom that will help you to be successful in life. Another definition of education is the discipline of gaining knowledge, skills, and training that will equip you to reach your potential in life. Actually, 100 different persons may give you 100 different definitions for the word education. The Word of God gives us a very good start on understanding the true meaning of education, as evidenced by Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 above. Reading that verse again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. All genuine education begins and ends with God, period. God is the source of all knowledge, and he is the source of all wisdom, science, understanding, and truth. In view of these insights, true education always has and always will begin, always has to and always will begin and end with God. Genuine, accurate knowledge and understanding cannot be correctly acknowledged or comprehended fully without Christ and knowledge of Him. Some persons may respond to such a statement by saying, "Well, I know a lot of people who are highly educated and yet don't even believe in God." The Word of God has something to say about people like this. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." Again, Psalm 14, 1. So is it actually correct to say that people who say there is no God are truly educated? They may very well have knowledge and limited understanding about some things, but they actually cannot be truly and fully educated. Everything in the natural world was created by God and came from Him. For persons who seek to become quote-unquote educated, yet do not include God and His Word in their education, they, in essence, cut the foundation of all knowledge from under themselves. Again, all knowledge and genuine education begins and ends with God. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, important light is shed upon these truths about knowledge and understanding. Romans chapter 1 begins with these words, and it tells us these words, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them." Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. So to state this truth one more time, all knowledge and true education always begins and ends with God and His Word, period. For people to genuinely know and understand truth, they must be touched, moved upon, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. And always know that the most important textbook you will need to read and have knowledge of is the written Word of God. Genuinely educated people are wise to read and study and continue to read and study the chief textbook called the Bible. Why? Well, one could say that all of life is an open book test. We'll be right back.
From getting through. We do. that you could see it all made new. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us?
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were concluding a portion of the article entitled Education Without Christ is Not Education. So to finish the last portion of this article. So to state this truth one more time, all knowledge and true education always begins and ends with God and His Word, period. For people to genuinely know and understand truth, they must be touched, moved upon, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. And always know that the most important, quote-unquote, textbook you will need to read and have knowledge of is the written Word of God. Genuinely educated people are wise to read and study and to continue to read and study this chief textbook all of their lives. Why is this true? Well, one could say that all of life is an open book test. We as believers are wise to live in the book and know and stay close to its author. Again, the title of this article, Education Without Christ is Not Education. And then secondarily, an additional article we're going to briefly share is entitled Men, Life, and Abortion. And again, once again, it's a Christian education tool and resource. We invite you to email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Email us to get a copy. Again, the title, Men, Life, and Abortion. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs 24, verse 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. And then finally, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. In our nation, it's commonly said that abortion and abortion rights are about a woman having the right to choose what to do with her own body. This is one of the ongoing claims of pro-choice people who are sold out to the tragedy of abortion. However, if the concern is really about a woman's quote-unquote right to choose, then consider a huge issue that is being profoundly ignored in our culture today. Statistically speaking, men are the driving force behind many abortions. And what a tragedy it is that men are very often the engines behind many abortions in our culture. Allow me to share a scenario that is tragically too common. A man, often a boyfriend, yet sometimes even a husband, upon learning that his girlfriend or wife is pregnant, will become upset. Often he'll become angry and ask typically what one could call a pretty stupid question. How did this happen? His actual thoughts may very well be, why didn't you do all you could to prevent this with all the birth control methods and means there are? He will then selfishly make other statements such as, I'm not ready to be a daddy, or we can't afford a baby. How could you have let this happen? Then the next words from his mouth may very well be, you will get an abortion. Do you understand? There's no need for discussion. And in many cases, the woman does exactly what her boyfriend or husband demands. Though it's often stated that this issue is about a woman's right to choose, in such a case, is she choosing? In many such instances, you have a woman who either wants to keep her baby, or you have a woman who is on the fence and undecided. Then, upon receiving the reaction of her boyfriend or husband, she will often decide, I better do what he says. Again, this situation is extremely common in our culture. Even though it's said that it is her right to choose, too terribly often she's being coerced or more or less forced to get an abortion against her will. Now, it's actually against the law to force or coerce a woman to have an abortion if she wants to keep her baby. Tragically, though, many women don't know that this is the law. If the mother wants to keep the baby, then legally she has the right to make that decision. Many of these precious women do not realize that the law is on their side. Many men do not know the law either. Actually, sadly, many men don't care. So it's not hard to see that even though many claim that they want to maintain a woman's right to choose, this is actually not really the goal for many who are pro-choice. Time and time again, in this situation, the woman is not choosing at all. The man is. There's an overwhelming need for persons who know and understand the law in this situation to help inform more people of the law. It can be done by word of mouth, obviously, yet two very helpful resources are the Dear Client Letter or the Dear Parent Letter, found at the website www.thejusticefoundation.org from the ministry, The Justice Foundation. Churches and schools should get copies of these items or similar resources to help people to come to know and be informed of the law. Men have too often taken women's right to choose life away. They have done exactly what they should not have done, demanded an abortion. This situation needs to end. The ignorance and selfishness of our culture have already done way too much damage. Any concerned individual can help spread the word. And the title of this second article is Men, Life, and Abortion. If you want to get a copy of this article or the first one we've shared as well, again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Picking up now, reading through the Word of God in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Then David said, this will be the location for the temple of the Lord God and the place of the altar for Israel's burnt offerings. So David gave orders to call together the foreigners living in Israel, and he assigned them the task of preparing finished stone for building the temple of God. David provided large amounts of iron for the nails that would be needed for the doors in the gates and for the clamps. And he gave more bronze than could be weighed. He also provided innumerable cedar logs, for the men of Tyre and Sidon had brought vast amounts of cedar to David. David said, my son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now. So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Then David sent for his son Solomon and instructed him to build a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. "My son, I wanted to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God," David told him. "But the Lord said to me, 'You have killed many men in battles you have fought. And since you have shed so much blood in my sight, you will not be the one to build a temple to honor my name. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace. I will give him peace with his enemies in all the surrounding lands. His name will be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel during his reign. He is the one who will build a temple to honor my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will secure the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, that you may obey the law of the Lord your God as you rule over Israel. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart. I have worked hard to provide materials for building the temple of the Lord. Nearly 4,000 tons of gold, 40,000 tons of silver, and so much iron and bronze that it cannot be weighed. I have also gathered timber and stone for the walls, though you may need to add more. You have a large number of skilled stonemasons and carpenters and craftsmen of every kind. You have expert goldsmiths and silversmiths and workers of bronze and iron. Now begin the work, and may the Lord be with you." Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to assist Solomon in this project. "The Lord your God is with you," he declared. "He has given you peace with the surrounding nations. He has handed them over to me, and they are now subject to the Lord and his people. Now seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you can bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy vessels of God into the temple built to honor the Lord's name." 1 Chronicles chapter 23. When David was an old man, he appointed his son Solomon to be king over Israel. David summoned all the leaders of Israel together with the priests and Levites. All the Levites who were 30 years old and or older were counted. All the Levites who were 30 years old or older were counted, and the total came to 38,000. Then David said, "From all the Levites, 24,000 will supervise the work at the temple of the Lord. Another 6,000 will serve as officials and judges. Another 4,000 will work as gatekeepers, and 4,000 will praise the Lord with the musical instruments I have made." Then David divided the Levites into divisions named after the clans descended from the three sons of Levi: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The Gershonite family units were defined by their lines of descent from Libni and Shimei, the sons of Gershon. Three of the descendants of Libni were Jehiel, the family leader, Zetham, and Joel. These were the leaders of the family of Libni. Three of the descendants of Shimei were Shelemoth, Haziel, and Haran. Four other descendants of Shimei were Jahath, Ziza, Jeush, and Beriah. Jahath was the family leader, and Ziza was next. Jeush and Beriah were counted as a single family because neither had many sons. four of the descendants of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses. Aaron and his descendants were set apart to dedicate the most holy things, to offer sacrifices in the Lord's presence, to serve the Lord, and to pronounce blessings in his name forever. As for Moses, the man of God, his sons were included with the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. The descendants of Gershom included Shebuel, the family leader. Eleazar had only one son, Rehabiah, the family leader. Rehabiah had numerous descendants. The descendants of Izhar included Shelomith, the family leader. The descendants of Hebron included Jeriah, the family leader, Amariah, the second, and Jehaziel. Verses 1 through 18, 1 Chronicles chapter 23. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. So they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as a head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should be silent. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you were healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. For the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. So He went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept His authority. All of 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you once again, Father, for your word and the power of your word. Thank you for the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for us as the church, Lord, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name. Help us, Lord, to not make any graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And Lord, more and more, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would empower us and encourage us to be bright, shining witnesses for your kingdom everywhere we go. Help us to seek to glorify you through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. Help us to be bright, shining torches for your kingdom absolutely everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to give your life to Christ and be saved. If you wish to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us once again. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Also, again, if you're wanting copies of either the articles that we shared earlier as well, the two articles were entitled, the first one, Education Without Christ is Not Education, and the second article entitled, Men, Life, and Abortion. Same email, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to send one or both if you'd like them. Let us know again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.